street.
This is a good approach.
And Senator Courtney made that point in front of the Substance Committee Education. Think about, you know, if you had four schools, 600 compared to one at 2,500, how many more kids have a chance to be competitive and compete? And I think that's a very important part of the education of our children, of course.
The principal of McKay High School said something to me once out here, McKay, that kids are involved in extracurricular activity. Their dropout rate is the lowest, and their grades are often the best because of, you know, and extracurricular activity can mean many things. So yeah, I think it's critical to having kids involved. And, you know, if they feel like they haven't even got a chance. I mean, basketball, as much as I love it, it's not a much. At least football, they're allegiance. Yeah. But so many sports, kids won't even bother going out. They won't even bother going out. They figure, I can't even make it. Plus, there's not enough spots.
That's the one thing that has clung to Jefferson High School. Still a school of champions. Look at the basketball team this last time around. And I'll say again, I am proud to be a Democrat, a Jefferson Democrat.
Senator Hartung,
Mr. Chair, and I know that the males are dominating the sports issue, and sports is very, very important, and we were champions, but we also had an outstanding drama coach and teacher. I will not let that go unsaid because drama. And the theater is also a value in schools, as well as arts
and
the choir, and as well. So I think, and we're talking about
it. I think we've had enough of this, man.
This cannot leave that unsaid.
Thank you.
Dash 1 amendment, please, to the House Bill, Senate Bill 38.
Yes, let's see. Senator Trow had a couple of good ideas there, and Sue, can you kind of bring this all together?
Peter, could you listen to this before you go? Because I wouldn't want to amend your bill for anything you didn't want in it. Sub 3, just in addition to Section 1, we'd have a Sub 3. The Legislative Assembly also finds that the student-teacher ratio is also crucial, and school districts are encouraged to conform to the student-teacher ratio recommended in the quality education model. Would that bother you?
No, Senator. That's really remarkable.
Okay.
I mean, that shows you I don't have the depth I should have. That's very good.
What an admission.
Yeah. Peter, you need to work on your self-esteem and get some confidence.
No.
Goodbye. Okay, let's see. Sue, can you compile those? Excuse me.
I don't know enough about the quality education model, but I think it does make a statement and can reduce the cost based on student-teacher ratio.
Okay, Sue.
Mr. Chair, what I would recommend that you do is go ahead and vote on Representative Schrader's motion to move the Dash 1 amendment, then take a vote on the conceptual amendment that Senator Trow has recommended, and then everything would come back to full ways and means. It's a Dash 2 amendment. And then you'd want to move the bill as amended to full ways and means.
We don't have the printed Dash 1 amendments, do we?
Mr. Chair, yes, you do.
How come I don't know what
you do? They were passed out.
Oh, yes, they do. Okay. All right, does everyone, Senator, or Representative Schrader has moved the Dash 1 amendments, 38-1. Is there any question about those? Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered, they are adopted. And now a conceptual amendment, please.
Mr. Chair, I would move the conceptual amendment that reads this like this. It would be a sub 3 of Section 1. The Legislative Assembly also finds that the student-teacher ratio is also crucial, and school districts are encouraged to conform to the student-teacher ratio recommended in the quality education model. So it's an encouragement.
Sir, will that show up as a Dash 2 amendment?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. The Legislative Council will combine both the Dash 1 amendment.
Is there any discussion, any question about the conceptual amendments? Is there
Mr.
any?
Chair?
Yes,
I would have to object to that. Research has not proven that smaller class size leads to higher achievement. It does at the lower levels, not the higher levels. I probably object to that.
Certainly. Let the record show that Representative Close objects to the conceptual amendments that will come out as the Dash 2. Is there any other objection? Seeing
none, I didn't want to object. Just want to thank Senator Trow for the inclusion of that amendment.
Right.
As I indicated earlier, I've been trying for a long time.
Right. So we have adopted those conceptual amendments, and so now we can, this has to go to the full, of course.
Correct.
And then where does it go?
You'd want to make a motion to move it to full as amended with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, you've heard the motion. Representative Schrader has made that motion. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. And where's that go? It's been in the Senate. Did it just go to the House after full?
Mr. Chair, it'll have to go back to the Senate so they can concur with the new amendment.
Okay.
So and it'll also obviously go to the House.
Senator Schroeder, would you carry it to the full, and then we'll have Senator Courtney carry it to the Senate. And the House carrier, who'd like to carry it in the House? Representative Schrader. And we'll conclude the work session on Senate Bill 38. And Representative Miller, or Senator Miller, thank you for participating today. Jefferson High School.
You didn't know we were Democrats.
Okay, now we'll open a public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 2286. Representative Schrader, this is your bill. Where are you going? Oh, you're going down there? Okay. Call on Representative Schrader. I thought you were leaving. Welcome to the committee, sir.
Oh, it's nice to see you, sir. I've been observing your work. It seems to be exceptional. Sure, we'll continue.
I think we'll pass your bill.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Representative Kurt Schrader, House District 23. I appreciate the opportunity to bring House Bill 2286 and Gross to you. I'm also going to propose an additional amendment that be a conceptual amendment, I guess, at this point. This bill had its genesis in my district. I think it's a big statewide issue, as you know. There's over 50,000 ESL students statewide. Big shortage that we're all aware of, I believe, with the ESL teachers. There's an article in Oregonian the other day about the Salem Kaiser School District with Kay Baker talking, saying that the district has way too few bilingual instructors to give youngsters the support they need. Most students end up in English as a second language classroom. Most students end up in English as a second language classrooms with teachers who haven't always received ESL training. This bill originally was going to allocate some money to teachers, some money to school districts to advance instruction. The Education Subcommittee, in its wisdom, I think correctly identified that the real core issue is just what I've read, that we need better teachers that have a better understanding of how to relate to the students. And so this bill has been pared down dramatically to a $1 million allocation to assist in bilingual tuition reimbursement grants for teachers. The grants are available to school districts that meet one of the four criteria. 3% or more of the enrolled students are ESL. ESL or bilingual students are, come from have a large geographic area in the district, has a high growth of ESL or bilingual students in any given year, and can demonstrate extraordinary needs for the training of ESL teachers. Candy, one of my districts back in my school districts in my legislative district, has seen a 14% increase in ESL. In the last couple of years. Estacada has a 5%, Malala's at 12%, Silverton's at 8%, North Marion 17%, Woodburn's seen a 60% increase. I mean, this is an issue that begs a solution. The bill as it's written now has a $1 million general fund allocation. I'm going to suggest that we delete that. Proposed amendment would delete the $1 million general fund allocation. It has come to our attention, I think, as a subcommittee, that we've got a lot of new federal funds coming into this legislative session. There's extra money for migrant education, for Eisenhower grants, for Title I monies, a number of different programs that I think we could easily find $1 million in there to fund this particular program. So a new section I would suggest should be added that says that allows the department to accept our standard language, gifts, grants, donations, federal funds for this program. Then there'd be a budget note in the department's grant and aid bill that would direct the agency to seek out these sources of federal funding for this program and report back to the emergency board during the 103 biennium as a result of their efforts. And I would ask your support, please.
Thank you. Members, I'd like to have Merced from the department come and Kurt, if you just stay there because we may have some questions. So, Merced, would you come and give us your opinion, the department's opinion, on how this could work or should work?
Okay. Good morning. For the record, my name is Merced Flores, Associate Superintendent of the Office of Student Services at the Department of Education. Good morning. One of the things that I thought about was how we could fund this program. And I know that there's always been an effort to use general fund monies to develop good ESL bilingual programs all over the state. And one of the things that we always want to be able to do is provide every child with an equal educational opportunity as required by Title VI of the Civil Rights Law.
By what? Which law? Civil Rights Law?
Title VI of the Civil Rights Law, of the Civil Rights Act.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we have not been able to do as schools, especially through the years, and if I want to, I'd like to just provide some history. In 1969, I came up to the state of Oregon. I was from California, a student attending a small private school. And as I was here, I remember there were very few Hispanic students in the state of Oregon. We had, I think our populations were in the Woodburn area, and they were sprinkled over in Ontario and Nyssa. But as you saw your population shift, you know, we no longer were receiving those students, the migrant students from Texas and parts of California. This enrollment of students was coming from different parts of Mexico, and we started seeing a lot of more families coming up from parts of Mexico, Central America, South America, and now we have probably one of the fastest growing populations around. Our schools have not been equipped with the necessary bilingual, bicultural ESL teachers to be able to accommodate this population that's really been a challenge to us all over the state. And as a state, we have received additional dollars, Title I dollars, because of our poverty factors. Our migrant dollars are based on increasing amounts of migrant students identified. In fact, we are the fifth largest migrant education program in the nation. Also, our immigrant population has grown tremendously, and that's the immigrant population is separate from our migrant population. And that growth has been tremendously seen in Portland, Eugene, Salem, and parts of East County, of East Multnomah County. With those dollars, those increased dollars, of course, we have hired a lot more teachers, but again, we have not kept up with the training and also the efforts that we can make, you know, for teachers across the state. If we look at trying to use federal dollars for this effort, we will not have the $1 million available. Now, as our Title I program, which is our basic program, which is our largest federal education program, we receive about $67 million, but we only receive about 1.5% for administration and school improvement efforts. Our migrant education program is only about $12 million, and we get 1.5% for our administrative efforts. The rest of those monies go to the districts, for districts to hire staff, to provide their own staff development, to provide teacher assistance for administration of programs. So very little of that money is used for our purposes to operate programs. As a state, we did receive a bilingual education grant, which is $100,000. Now that money I can use to hire a staff member, a consultant that provides staff development, helps districts develop grants to apply for more federal grants, and we are able to use those efforts for that. However, again, you know, looking at $1 million of administrative dollars that we would have at the Department of Education, and again, those that are tied to our federal mandates, we would not be able to have that money at this point.
Are you aware of Representative Schrader's proposed amendments? Are those satisfactory in your mind?
The amendment of being able to use federal funds instead of general funds, again, I would really be concerned about that effort. We would not be able to have enough federal funds generated this year. In fact, the monies that we have received from the previous year to now, are not sufficient to even make up even half the amount of generated federal funds. So the amendment to change from general funds to federal funds would not be realistic.
Representative Schrader, would it be okay in your amendments if we left general funds and or grants and federal funds and gifts? Or
If I may, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I appreciate the Department of Education has had difficulty in identifying, I think, you know, the opportunities that are coming with the new federal money, which is $88 million. And even within the special ed, we've had discussions, I think, on our committee about how to allocate these dollars. And there's been a historical way to do it. And there's the way to do it that hopefully has a little creativity that gets at base needs that the state of Oregon wants. I would suggest that to the extent I'd be more than willing to work with the department here in the interim to help them identify all sources of money. The language I would have says gifts, grants, donations, and federal funds, so we would not have to rely solely on that. But I suspect and would respectfully suggest that there may be some opportunities that if the department was willing to look at things in a slightly different light, there may be opportunities there. And certainly if there's not the money there, we would not do the program.
Representative Winters?
Yeah, just a comment. I wouldn't think that you would want to eliminate the federal language. Let's say, for example, that in one of my trips back to Washington, that one is successful for getting a grant from the Department of Ed for this specific purpose. So certainly we all know that the grantsmanship ability is out there in addition to those streams that are, you know, that could be coming true. I think that the we wouldn't want to box ourselves or restrict ourselves in not having that ability to pursue all of the avenues, which federal funding is one of them. I would suggest that we keep the federal language in there. But I do have a question, Merced. What efforts is being made by the district with the community colleges of attempting to encourage them to do more training? Now, we've had this discussion before about the lack of educators that are available, and yet we have a natural, I think, resource in the state when we talk about population of encouraging those individuals to become proficient so that they can become teachers in this particular area. Is there any effort that the department is doing with our community colleges and looking and with teacher standards and practice with the idea that this could be a resource pool that we should be developing and working with so that we can fulfill some of the needs when we're talking about the second language issue?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, Representative Winters, there has been some efforts by some community colleges to help encourage the enrollment of teachers or of potential teachers and also with systems of higher education. There's been several programs. I know that Oregon State University, we have Southern Oregon University, Portland State, Lewis and Clark, the four-year universities. But we also have had PCC, Portland Community College, that has put together a Portland teacher program that has encouraged kids from their high schools to the community college to the Portland State University level to encourage teachers to become classroom teachers.
I guess I'm speaking specifically of the Hispanic community itself.
Mr. Chair, Representative Winter, yes. There's been, the Hispanic community has been, in fact, a very much player in this whole process because we have seen a lot more teachers come out of Portland State University, Oregon State, and also Lewis and Clark College. We have seen Portland State University put together a program called the Bilingual Pathway Program. And this is a five-year program that was, there were federal funds that were given to the university to encourage the enrollment and also the certification of bilingual teachers. We have, I believe, seven districts across the state that have taken advantage of this program. And I know that part of the responsibility of the district is to add to whatever effort the Portland State University grant has, but we have seen an increase in the number of bilingual teachers that are coming out of this program. So I believe they have maybe a couple more years of funding. Again, all those resources, and I really do encourage that we keep the language of federal funds and any other funds. I think my explanation was that certainly we just don't have the resources, but we need to be a lot more aggressive and get some of those federal dollars.
Mr. Follow up. I would like to really encourage this body to, when we start working on the higher ed, some of the budgets. This is a huge problem and a huge issue, and to me, I think that we shouldn't always just depend upon the federal dollars to get us there, particularly when we have a growing population of individuals in this state, and we know that we need the teachers, and we know that we need the resources. It just seems to me that our institutions of higher learning and as well as the department should be aggressively working to make sure that we are both educating and preparing more individuals to address this particular issue. And whether we take and put it in a budget note in these budgets, I for one, you know, think that here we have a natural resource within our state. And we're not reaching out to develop that very natural resource that exists within our state. You know, it's one thing to wait for the federal dollars to get us there, but I think it's another to do good public policy. This is that we recognize that this is a valuable resource, and we will develop this resource within our state. And I just had to add that.
Thank you. Kurt, does Sue have your amendments? We don't have the printed amendments, but conceptually, it's what you agree to?
Yes.
Yeah, Sue, do you need this?
Yeah, if I could just, if you would permit me to ask a question of Merced, Mr.
Sure,
Chair, I'm just
certainly.
Curious. There were a couple of federal grants, I understand, that were available. I believe they're competitive grants. One closed in December of 2000. It's called Training for All Teachers under Title VI. And one closed in May of 2001, called Teachers and Personnel. Can you share with the committee whether or not the department applied for those grants, if it was successful, and if you do get the money, how you spend it, or intend to spend it?
Okay, and this is, you're asking for Title VI dollars?
I believe they are Title VI dollars, and they're programs that are specifically targeted towards increasing the supply and addressing the training issues of ESL teachers.
Okay. Excuse me. Title VI is the Innovative Programs Strategy Dollars, and those are a different fund from your Title VII bilingual ESL monies.
I'm sorry, Marissa, I did misspace Title VII, not Title VI. Sorry.
Title VII, as far as I'm concerned, as far as I know, we did not apply for those dollars.
Can you tell me why the department did not apply for those dollars?
I think that we probably missed the deadline. I know that the dollars are available all the time, and there are different deadlines for different funds. There are deadlines for state monies monies that are available to states, and there's also monies that are available to LEAs or the local educational agencies. But we will keep, and again, those monies are available all the time. There are different cycles and monies available for those, and we will keep up with each one of those. I know that we have applied for a couple of dropout prevention dollars, and we're also applying for some other Title VII dollars that are going to appear in the fall.
Thank you. I would just add to that the two grants that I mentioned are available to, according to this information that I got off the Internet, both the state education agencies and local education agencies. So perhaps you'd like to encourage the department to seek out these new sources so that you're not diverting what they're already using from federal funds. Or
is there a match requirement we'd have to meet?
Mr. Chair and Senator Cho, I don't have that detail.
We'd be willing to make sure they have the match money. Mm-hmm.
So we could do that with a budget note rather than conceptual amendments we're dealing with?
Mr. Chair, what I would recommend is that you and I recognize we're not in work session right now, but
no,
you would
go to a work session and a closed public hearing. We're in work session now.
Okay, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Members of the subcommittee, I'd recommend then that you adopt Representative Schrader's amendments, which would delete Section 2, which appropriates the general fund, and then it would insert a new Section 2 that allows the department to accept gifts, grants, donations, and federal funds for the program. And again, Legislative Council will adopt or draft the standard language, and then those amendments will be available at Full Ways and Means Committee. And then, since you're not doing anything with the Department of Education's budget with this bill, you won't have a budget report in which you could insert a budget note. So I would recommend that you insert that budget note in Senate Bill 5512, which is for their grant and aid program, and that would be to direct them to seek out additional sources of federal funding. You could be specific in the budget note about some particular federal programs that you'd like them to look at, but I would also give them a broad category other federal sources or other sources from federal programs to achieve the purpose of House Bill 2286. So I wouldn't limit it to just specific programs. I would maybe list a few, but then have a kind of a catch-all category also.
Is there any discussion or questions? Yes, Representative Hobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In regard to the federal grants, quite often the school districts actually interact with the department, and the department will say, Beaverton and Tillamook, why don't you go for that one? We're going to pass on it because you have to pick and choose because there's so many. But I think it's a wonderful idea to have a budget note in there encouraging, and I wasn't sure if Sue meant encouraging specifically for language issues or in general.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hobson, in this case, it would be specifically targeted towards the intent purpose of House Bill 2286, so the training for ESL teachers.
Great. Did you want us to speak to the bill, Mr. Chair, too? Or?
If you'd like to, certainly.
I'd be glad to get that back. Yes. I'm very supportive of this bill, and you probably noticed in the Associated Committee I did vote against it. And it's one of those cases of balancing flexibility, and I was listening to Sue also on it, balancing flexibility with the need for accountability, which is Senator Schrader's, or Representative Schrader's middle name. And I have learned from that, so I'm really happy to now support this bill because I like the specificity of it, that it's pointing specifically and totally to training of teachers. And I think Representative Winter's point is well taken, too, about the community colleges being involved, because what I envision is a community college online, a university, whatever, offering these classes, which most of them already do, but a school district then saying, for those of you who we will pay your charges for doing that, because there's a lot of teachers out there who want to learn Spanish, want to be able to help those kids a lot more, but they need some incentive and some compensation for doing that. So I think it's a great one. Now, I had a little bit of concern about the federal money. I wasn't sure if Merced was thinking of the new federal money or the old federal money, and I get a little concerned about this new federal money that we seem to be spending in five or six different places, and I'm afraid we're going to end up with nothing there. But on the other hand, I think it's well written as it is with those choices, and I sure hope we can pass this now.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments?
Mr. Chair, I'll move the LFO recommendation.
Yes, Senator Trill moves the LFO recommendations, and that includes the budget note on the grant and aid portion of the department's budget.
Correct, Mr. Chair. Members will, I will have that budget note language for you when we do the work session on Senate Bill 5512.
Is there any objection? Seeing none, hearing none, so ordered. Senator Trill moves the amended 2286 to the Full Ways and Means committee with a due-pass recommendation. Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. And Representative Schrader will take it to the full and to the House, and Senator Trill to the Senate.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there any other business to come before this committee? There is no meeting tomorrow, and then hopefully we'll be getting into our budgets on Wednesday. And no other business? We are...
That's not what's proposed here. Number two, whatever proposal comes to your discussion for an economic security fund, we think is problematic, and we've yet to balance